In today's news headlines, more details have emerged in the college admissions scandal that led to the charging and arrest of about 50 people on Tuesday. A college prep consultant named William Singer is at the heart of a scheme to use large bribes from parents made to athletic coaches and others who have admissions oversight at elite colleges. Singer ran a business called the Edge College and Career Network, also known as The Key, in Newport Beach, California. In addition to facilitating bribes, Singer helped students to cheat on standardized tests like the SAT. Here is Andrew Lelling, U.S. Attorney for the District Court of Massachusetts, describing the charges on Tuesday.
We have charged 33 parents nationwide with hiring Singer's group to defraud testing companies and/or various universities. These parents are a catalog of wealth and privilege. They include, for example, CEOs of private and public companies, successful securities and real estate investors, two well-known actresses, a famous fashion designer, and the co-chairman of a global law firm. Based on the charges unsealed today, all of them knowingly conspired with Singer and others to help their children either cheat on the SAT or ACT and/or buy their children's admission to elite schools through fraud. Singer's clients paid him anywhere between $100,000 and $6.5 million for this service, though the majority paid between $250,000 and $400,000 per student. This case is about the widening corruption of elite college admissions through the steady application of wealth combined with fraud. There can be no separate college admission system for the wealthy, and I'll add that there will not be a separate criminal justice system either.
That's U.S. Attorney Andrew Lelling on Tuesday announcing the charges against dozens of parents, including well-known actresses Felicity Huffman and Lori Loughlin. Mr. Singer, the educational consultant at the heart of the charges, had turned into a federal informant and secretly recorded conversations with his clients to help prosecutors. The investigation is ongoing and more charges may be coming. In the wake of the Ethiopia Airlines crash last weekend, most countries around the world, including the European Union, have decided to ground their Boeing 737 MAX 8 aircraft, which is a type of plane that crashed in Addis Ababa and also crashed last year in Indonesia. Chief among those nations refusing to ground its planes is the U.S., where Boeing holds political influence in government. Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan worked for Boeing for over 30 years. On Tuesday, President Donald Trump tweeted, "Airplanes are becoming far too complex to fly. Pilots are no longer needed, but rather computer scientists from MIT." But soon after he posted the tweet, according to the New York Times, Boeing's chief executive, Dennis A. Muilenburg, called from Chicago and expressed to Mr. Trump his confidence in the safety of the 737 MAX 8 jets, according to two people briefed on the conversation. Reports show that there were 11 complaints logged by federal aviation authorities from professional pilots between April through December of 2018. According to a USA Today report, the captain of a November 2018 flight called part of the aircraft's flight manual, quote, inadequate and almost criminally insufficient. Meanwhile, Transportation Secretary Elaine Chao and her staff flew on a Boeing 737 MAX 8 plane operated by Southwest Airlines on Tuesday in a bid to illustrate the plane's safety. President Trump's former campaign chair, Paul Manafort, was sentenced on Wednesday for the second time in 2 weeks in another set of charges stemming from the special counsel's investigation into election wrongdoing. Judge Amy Berman Jackson sentenced Manafort to an additional 3.5 years in prison, on top of the 47 months he was sentenced to last week. Many critics denounced that 47-month sentence for being far too light. During her sentencing hearing, Judge Berman said of Manafort, "It is hard to overstate the number of lies and the amount of fraud and the amount of money involved. A significant portion of his career has been spent gaming the system." Meanwhile, New York's Attorney General Letitia James is proposing a bill to close a constitutional loophole preventing people from being charged with the same crime twice, specifically for those who have been pardoned by the president on federal convictions. Ms. James would like her state to file charges along similar lines as federal investigators against those people that the president might pardon. California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed an executive order on Wednesday ordering a moratorium on the death penalty in his state. The order means that California's 737 death row inmates will not be executed while Newsom is governor. California joins Colorado, Oregon, and Pennsylvania in halting the death penalty, giving momentum to a national movement against the practice. There are more death row inmates in California than in any other state currently, and the last time a prisoner was executed was 2006. Governor Newsom has been a longtime critic of the death penalty. The Indian Child Welfare Act is being tested 40 years after it was passed. A federal judge in Texas had ruled the law unconstitutional because it requires Native American adoptive parents to be given preference in cases involving Native American children in foster care and adoption proceedings. Hundreds of tribes in nearly two dozen states have joined together with a federal agency charged with upholding the law to defend it in front of the judge. On Wednesday, arguments will be heard in front of the panel of the 5th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. The case centers around a child who is eligible for membership in the Navajo and Cherokee tribes, but who is being fostered by a white couple in Texas after the child's biological parents apparently voluntarily gave up their parental rights. The Pentagon on Tuesday signed a memo putting into effect President Trump's ban on transgender troops in the U.S. military. The memo will go into effect on April 12th, after which most people who are transgender will be banned from serving. There will be waivers issued on a case-by-case basis. On Tuesday, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi issued a stern rebuke against the memo, saying the president's revival of his bigoted, disgusting ban on transgender service members is a stunning attack on the patriots who keep us safe and on the most fundamental ideals of our nation. House Democrats on Tuesday revived the DREAM Act, a bill that would offer young immigrants a path toward permanent residency and U.S. citizenship. The bill would also preserve the Temporary Protected Status Program, which protects several communities from facing deportation. California Representative Lucille Roybal Allard introduced the bill, which has a troubled history, saying, "I have seen the pain and fear the Trump administration has had on DREAMers and their families." The bill is likely to face stiff opposition in the Republican-controlled Senate, even if it passes the House. And that does it for our headlines today.